help us to commence this evening with part of 780. We'll hope to sing the rest of it for our middle hymn. 780, verses 1 to 5. Come, my soul, and let us try for a little season every burden to lay by. Come and let us reason, what is this that casts thee down? Who are those that grieve thee? Speak and let the worst be known. Speaking may relieve thee. 780, verses 1 to 5.
Thank you. From the Holy Word of God, let us read in the Gospel according to John, chapter 7. In the Gospel according to John, chapter 7. John 7. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea. Thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. There is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the worlds. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, He is a good man. Others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. About the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he of whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. but I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles, and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, Doth our Lord judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Every man went unto his own house. Let us pray. Merciful and almighty God, we do bow before thy great majesty and ask of thee for the help and aid of the Holy Ghost to pray from our hearts. We do ask that we may be truly taught how to pray. And we'd also ask this, that we may not just pray in chapel. Oh, that we might pray without ceasing. Oh, that we might really call upon thy name. We confess our natural tendency when gloomy mountains arise upon us and our faith is very tried and a storm blows, we begin to sink. But may we really cry from our heart, like Peter did, save or I perish. God, be merciful to me. Oh, do bless me indeed. Oh, Lord, arise for my help. Lord, we do need that real prayer of faith to be given us. We do need that precious faith, Lord, to be an exercise. Oh, do blow upon us from above, not only now, but as we journey on in life's journey. We feel our need of much saving. We need much grace. We really do to get to heaven. But that exceeding great grace, Lord, we'll never get to heaven. Oh, thou who dwellest in the heavens, do look down upon us in thy tender mercy. And minister the gospel to us tonight. What a wonderful physician thou art. Lord, there's not a disease among us that is beyond thy healing virtue, thy power. Oh, the diseases of our sinnership. Oh, the intrinsically solemn evil of our sinnership, Lord. What tangled people we are. What knots tie us up. But all with thee is such an infallible cure. Oh, thou canst unravel. Thou canst wash. Thou canst forgive. Thou canst arise with healing in thy wings. Oh, Lord, thou dost know all about our disease. Oh, Lord, thou knowest the fullness of it. We own our rebellions, and all our troubles come from our sinnership. It's the source of every woe in the earth is sin. It's the source of my woe, my own sin, not somebody else's. My sin, Lord. But oh, we would plead that precious blood which did once for sin atone. Oh, how we think upon that we have sung, it is finished. Oh, think how loud thy Saviour cried, it is finished. Oh, we do pray that we may be able to plead it before thee now, that thou hast made great promise, exceeding promise, everlasting promise, and thou canst not lie. Oh, may it cheer us a little tonight, Lord, in thy house. The Lord can't lie. No, he did say, thou didst say, Lord, when we were created, no, it is thereof thou shalt surely die. Nor states it plainly, the soul that sinneth it shall die. That's true. But oh, that is a he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now that's true. Blessedly true. We give our ears more to the solemn truth that we should die. If our conscience testifies of it, our guilty hearts sink under the realization of it. But Lord, would you bless us tonight that we may really believe to the saving of our soul, give ear to the gospel, that all he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now we pray for the grace. Pray all that's in thee for sinners, Lord. What a fullness. Oh, do grant that we have a little meditation tonight upon the fullness of the Blessed One, Jesus, Son of God, God with us. Oh, that Son of Man who is now in heaven, in shining glory, more full of grace than I have sinned, Oh, that just one, that Saviour, the mighty God of Jacob. Oh, Lord, therefore we pray that we may have some meditation upon thee tonight. The psalmist said, my meditation of him shall be sweet. Be glad in the Lord. Oh, do grant it to us tonight, we beg. Oh, may thy name be as ointment poured forth. Oh, do speak that, fear not. Look into the soul with one of thy blessed looks, we pray. Oh, do therefore blow upon us and relieve the souls of the afflicted and comfort the souls of the poor and the needy, we pray, even here tonight. Oh, bless our families, our family circles. Mercy upon them, those children here, those children brought here. Oh, may we bring them unto thee, precious, never-dying souls. When they're small, they look so lovely, almost harmless and innocent, but they're not, Lord. Oh, they've got my nature. They've got each of our natures. Oh, Lord, and it will manifest itself. Oh, they're sinners, poor and sinners, vile, though it doesn't look like it in their sweet young days. It is so, Lord. But, Lord, we bring them to thee. Oh, we inquire after them at the throne of grace. And as we entreat thee, Lord, as they grow up, lay thy hands upon them and bless them. Oh, pass by their precious souls and say, live. Oh, young in years, we pray. Oh, restrain and constrain the youth, the young men and young women. Give them the fear of the Lord. Oh, pass by their souls and say, live. Oh, friends among us in the paths of affliction and trial and troubles, we pray earnestly for them. It's true what the poet says, Lord, and we know it. We know it's true. Afflictions make us see. What else would escape our sight? How very vile and dim are we, and God, how pure and bright. Or could we see something of thy brightness? My lovely purity, which is all for sinners. Oh, a pure fountain. Oh, a pure robe of righteousness. Pure promises. Pure love. The pure word of God. Oh, the pure work of the Spirit. The pure words of Emmanuel. Oh, may we be encouraged. Oh, we're such transgressors. Feel the long, long shadows in our souls for that brightness. But oh, may thy brightness shine. Oh, we do arise and shine. We humbly pray even tonight. Oh, may we know it is for our sun not to go down, neither our moon to withdraw itself. Lord, to be our everlasting light, days of our mourning may be ended. And we'll come and do us good here tonight. Speak the healing word, grant the divine touch. Oh, do raise up to a hope. We'll visit one another, hear the cries of the destitute, the poor and needy, where there's formality among us, a certain contentedness to just go to chapel and believe in good things and hope for the best and generally speak about faith and, oh, real religion. But do keep from a general form, though it may be a right form. And our profession in our conversation may be about the pure doctrine and not wrong in itself. But Lord, want the life in our soul. Oh, hear the cry of the poor and needy. Oh, come where sinners are tonight, Lord. Oh, do go before us in our remaining days here below. We've many crooked things, many worries. Do make them straight, Lord. Oh, do speak the promises into our heart. Oh, Lord, do hear our cries. We come to a good God. Oh, some of us can truly say thou hast been so good, so good. Lord, in spite of the sorrow that some may bear are here tonight, yet may we be enabled to really say by precious faith, thou art a good God. Oh, may there be a certain unity among the living here tonight. Thou hast been a good God to me. Where there are trials among us, Lord, we still hope in him thyself, who is still so blessedly good. Can he do us good? Can he love thy bride? Can he eventually kiss thy bride? Thou must draw thy bride to thyself. Thou will embrace thy bride, Lord. Oh, do bless the poor. Oh, bless sinners tonight. Oh, pardon sins. Oh, relieve us and deal gently with us. Do receive us graciously. So crown thy gospel with success. Bless this people, bind them together. Let it be the Lord's work among them. Grant godly fear in their midst. Send Holy Ghost anointed ministers to them. May be the authority with the word. May sinners be converted unto thee. Sinners be brought to repentance, unto life. All sinners blessed with precious faith. Humbly trust and alone trust in thee, the Blessed One. All may sinners feed in this place. May the living ministry to feed the poor. All to strengthen weak hands. To confirm feeble knees. To encourage poor men and pilgrims here below. Oh, build thou the walls of Jerusalem here. Oh, do help each of thy sons then that come. Bless office bearers. Give them a single eye to thy glory. Do all things in the fear of God. Oh, be glorified in this place, we pray. And lead a humble praying people to them. Build them up in their most holy faith, we pray. Provide for them in due time, an under-shepherd appointed by thee, the great head of the church. We try to pray for them this morning, not a man that they will merely appoint, not one that they may merely set their heart upon. Oh, they may look at the outward, or like Samuel looked at the sons, and they looked, surely this is the Lord's anointed. Ah, but it wasn't. Oh, may they really seek thee. And may they come to a place where they are united. And may they be instructed by thee to rise and anoint in due time. But Lord, it must be thy appointing for the anointing. Oh, do work it among them, we pray. And oh, remember then this people, the dear families. Oh, may there be those gracious additions, those sweetly instructed to put on Christ. Do this in remembrance of thee. We humbly pray, oh, touch many hearts. And remember the dear flock and friends at home, to be precious soul there and help thy servant there this day. Or remember us in this solemn day, to have Antichrist in modern global age. Arise, we pray, work that mighty work even in the days of evil. All thy work must go on. We believe it will definitely go on, right to the end of time. Come what may upon the earth. But we need the grace, Lord. We need the grace. We're not independent of thee. We need the life. Oh, we need thee indeed, who art the why, the truth, and the life. Oh, bless us then, and do us each good, we humbly pray. And we thank thee for the beautiful seasons, and for the harvest, and now, Lord, we live in hope of another harvest. Oh, thou art a faithful God. Because thy word says that these seasons will continue while the earth remains, we firmly believe they will. But we do want, Lord, a larger faith. Because we're believing about natural things, though it's good to believe. And my dear people must believe such precious truths, and they do. When it comes to my sinnership, and my failings, and my sinkings, and that great adversary, the devil, and oh, his subtleties, and all our weak points, says they get us at last, and we're a sham, we're not real. We often get weak and faint in the battle. Oh, it seems though the life of God is like a hemorrhage from us. We're ready to halt and to give up, and do all the din of the noise and the wounds we receive in the warfare. Oh, but Lord. Oh, as we believe most firmly, the seed time and harvest will continue. May we believe most firmly that never send any away that come to thee. Oh, to believe most firmly that If we confess our sins, we long to confess them. Oh, we long to unburden, unload all our dreadful guilt. Our crimes are so great, so innumerable. And oh, we may be favoured to realise that there's pardon yet for sin to come. Amazing grace. Oh, blessed Saviour. But to believe indeed in our very heart, oh, thou art never sent any away. Thou art faithful that promised. A mighty Saviour. Oh, the gospel is for sinners. Oh, do you have to believe in these precious, precious everlasting truths more and more? So mercy, minister the gospel. Oh, may the ministry here tonight be a Holy Ghost ministry, a ministry of the Spirit. Oh, dear, people might live. So we bless thee for thy mercies. We look back over the journey. It's been so good, so blessedly good. Oh, both spiritually and providentially. Oh, so blessedly good. Oh, do be that same God to us in all the unknown future as thou hast been to this moment of time. And Lord, we live then in hope we shall get to heaven at last. Oh, what a miracle. What a wonder if poor sinners like ourselves really get into heaven. Oh, we plead Christ. Oh, precious Christ, the living Christ. Oh, that refuge forever. But now we must close in prayer. Oh, do hear our cries and do help our poor man this evening. For a little something of thy blessedness. Oh, I've got nothing to serve myself. Oh, I need an infilling. I may be able to pour out. Oh, do grant this, Lord. We need real help. Now pardon our many and our mighty sins. Oh, may we live to thy glory. Oh, wash us through from all our iniquities. We plead thy precious name, all-prevailing name. For Jesus Christ's sake.
Hymn 780, commencing at verse 6. Faith, when void of works, is dead. This the Scripture witness. And what works have I to plead, whom all unfitness? All my powers are depraved, blind, perverse, and filthy. If from death I'm fully saved, why am I not healthy? 780, commencing at verse 6.
In complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention to the Gospel according to John, chapter 7, and verses 37 and 38. John 7, verses 37 and 38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." John 7, verses 37 and 38. Now these are the pure and holy words of God. And to the pure, everything is pure, we read. The Lord, give us that pure, precious, living faith. To believe in the purity of the Word of God, the purity of God Himself. There's every encouragement in these two verses for the lost, the vile, the helpless, the wretched, the unclean. Oh, the sinking, the tempted, the guilty, the afflicted. The pure word of God will cast a long shadow in our souls about ourselves. We shall have to come to that solemn conclusion in my flesh, in my nature, that is, dwelleth no good thing. We shall have to come in with Job by the pure shining of the truth. Behold, I'm vile. Job concluded at the close of his trial. And you know, my friends, the work of the Holy Ghost is the dealings of God with us. His teaching, his taking hold, God takes hold of his bride. He takes hold of his bride. Before he kisses you with the kisses of mouth, you want to know his love. You want him to love you, to forgive you, to relieve you, to help you. That when he takes hold of his bride, you know, he shows her her true state. Says to her, in effect, reading Ezekiel, "I saw thee in thy pollution and blood, unwashed, unwashed. I passed by and said, live." And what a living. It's the beginning of eternal life. I know we may think it rather strange to say there's a beginning to eternal life, because in one sense there isn't. There's a beginning to time, in a lost sinner, something that will never end. So it is eternal. But that life was given by the eternal God. And in his eternal thought and knowledge, eternal purposes, his love, which was from eternity, was set upon a worm. A worm, Jacob mentioned this morning, didn't we? Ah, what a transgressor. But a worm, Jacob. Now, when the Lord is pleased to take hold of us, you know, he makes us to realise our need of God. Our need of God. And so we have to say, like Job, he concluded, "I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Now these pure words before this evening are the words of the Saviour. There is a Saviour. Or wherever you may be tonight, there's a Saviour. Jesus is a mighty Saviour. Helpless souls, so hear a friend. He has borne their misbehaviour and his mercy knows no end. Oh, ye helpless, come on his grace depend. independent and proud man doesn't want to be helpless, does he? He's trying to gear the economy that we're not helpless anymore. We hopefully will do everything one day, but he's as helpless as ever. But you'll be so thankful for the gospel if you know how helpless you are, how poor you are. Oh, I've been made very thankful at times. Been able to plead it, plead something, fill them out with arguments, and call upon that name, that all-prevailing name. In that last day, that great day of the feast. This was the Feast of Tabernacles. And of course, that great day was the day of the finality, or the culmination of all the offerings. Pointing out Christ, that great day, you see. And in when Jesus offered himself without spot to God, everything was done, completed and finished. Completely finished. There's nothing left for the sinner to do to get to heaven. But under divine instruction, he's sweetly illuminating, as sweetly taught, to look to Christ. And to look to Christ. And to give that holy, blessed Lord Jesus Christ the glory. He has done all things well, and he will do all things well. Oh, there are no regrets in heaven, you know. All the fullness of their joy. When they see him whom their soul loveth, how they shall crown him. I've known a number of godly people, my father one of them, when they've come to the deathbed, they said this, I'd have nothing altered, nothing altered. Because they were now ready to depart, you see. I'm sure some of you dear friends want lots of things altered. And so does your poor minister as well. We haven't got such a crooked nature, such an unbelieving heart, such a perverse will, such a wandering mind, such a love to dying things. Fool that I am. I can't call you a fool, but I can call myself a fool. We're fools and slow of heart to believe the word of God. There's help. Help laid upon him who fills his Father's throne. Oh, my friends, in him is everlasting strength, a fullness of grace and all sufficiency for poor, dying men who feel their woe. Well, this last day, this great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. Now, those that were living by faith in those Old Testament times, it's New Testament times, where they kept the ceremonial law in those Old Testament times, you see, they did it by faith, looking for the Messiah. And no doubt there are a few godly Jews that came up, you see, looking for the Messiah. And he stood and cried about himself. What a wonderful thing it is in the gospel ministry, in these modern times, when the Lord Jesus speaks of himself in the ministry to your soul. He, as it were, stands among us and cries to our heart. We're affected. All the authority of the voice of the Good Shepherd. It's the voice of many waters, and all its authority, its power, its sweetness, its life. If any man thirst, if anyone wants God, wants mercy, wants forgiveness, wants help, wants relief, wants the word of the Lord to do them good, need the Lord to visit them, to lead them forth by that right way, they might go to a city of habitation, or to come and forgive their sins, or to come and say, peace be still, and bring about a great calm in your life and in your soul. Need a promise applied, to comfort you, that you will get to heaven. Man thirst. Amen, thirst. Does your soul thirst for God, for the living God? Oh, my dear friends, what a mercy to have a thirst in your soul for God. The scriptures say you're a blessed person. Now, I don't know. I'm not here to judge the congregation. I'm here to preach the precious gospel, and I need help to do that. But the Lord, he knows all about you. He knows all about me. Do you thirst? Life. Life. Eternal life. Lord, increase my faith. Oh, visit my soul. Arise with healing in thy wings. Thirst for the living God. These psalmists says, doesn't he, Psalm 42, that he thirsted for the living God. And he wanted to do something. And how, what a wonderful thing if there are those here tonight. You want to do something, don't you? Want to appear before God, don't you? At the throne of grace. Want your ears to, your cries rather, to enter the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You want him to hear your poor cries. You want a holy interview. You also expressed that you want to be brought into his pavilion. Oh, where he rests in his everlasting rest. You may pour out your heart in your case. If any man thirst, any man, any beggar, any guilty, wretched worm of the earth. Touch the dying thief this morning. Now, you think of our circumstances. Now, I didn't enlarge the word and have time this morning. And say a number of things, which I desire to have spoken more of the providential side of things as well. And shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I know I just briefly touched upon it. Think of the way you walk now, this evening. If you've got a thirst, your affairs are the gracious doings and workings of the judge of all the earth. He's doing right. He does right in our trials. He does right in our sorrows. It's often crooked to you. It's often crooked to me. But you know you're brought to his feet to beg for a gracious straightening of things. Mercy to relieve you. Oh, the darkness to be made light. So, I will work. Isaiah 43, I will work. And who shall let it? Who will stop me? No man, no power, no devil, no fallen angel, no being can ever oppose God and stop his wonderful work of grace going in your heart and in your life. And this work, my friends, consists in dealing with you in such a way you thirst for him. You thirst for him. Relief and blessing. Now, if any man thirst, and he who is the Almighty, the loving, tender, merciful Saviour, he directs us poor sinners here tonight to himself. To himself. Ah, how attractive is Christ to you and I. I hope he's attractive to you. I believe one of these things is attractive to me. In my ruin, in my ignorance, weakness and feebleness and helplessness and poverty. I believe I can say he's attractive. And my dear friends, may he be made more attractive to us each. Yes, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Unto me. Now, none can come unto me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him. So the drawing love of your heavenly Father draws you to Christ as you are a sinner. A sinner. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, and in this end he sends the Holy Spirit to us in the name of his beloved Son to, and I mentioned this morning, he works secretly, silently, yet he's felt, he's known. Oh, there's that still small voice of the Word of God. I said this morning, Jesus speaks to his people. It's the Spirit speaking to you, not of himself, but he speaks of Christ. He speaks of Christ. And as our Heavenly Father draws us, he sends the Holy Spirit to us to draw us to Christ. And I said to my, I'm repeating something this morning, but you see, he makes Christ attractive. Needful, apposite, you see, such a suitability for yourself. Nothing but sin and filth. The blood of the everlasting covenant. The lamb slain. Oh, as we sang in that hymn just now, those drops of blood that flowed from his holy pores in his sacred humanity. Making an atonement. An atonement. As you may remember, in trying to lead you in prayer, I tried to give thanks and to declare before God that we fully believe the seasons will continue. And we should do, because they will, and it's God's kind word to man and beast. Now, think of the everlasting covenant. We poor men, you know, we seem to believe more firmly in the covenant with time than we do in the covenant which is for eternity. Aren't we poor men and sinful men and weak men? How we need the Holy Spirit, how we need the living waters. Amen. Let him come unto me and drink. Dost thou believe on the Son of God, an atoning sacrifice, promised mercy and promised grace, who to vile sinners, without money, without price, without payment, without improvement, without getting better? Oh, as Joseph Hart says, and it was quoted this afternoon, or part of it, come poor, come needy, come loathsome and bare. You can't come too filthy. Come just as you are, it's in 155. The gospel of the grace of God. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And how does a man do that? Ah, it's the drawing love of the Father, the Holy Ghost, gives light and life and reveals a precious Christ. And you bow down and you worship and you hope in his mercy. See a beauty in him and a glory in him that you see by faith. Oh, you then receive your justification. I said this morning concerning that righteous man. Oh, such a man will never, never perish. You confess your sins honestly to God, you'll never, never perish. Your sins are bitter to you, and they should be. Why? Because they're sins against a holy God. It's against his love, his blood. It's against his name and laws. Sins against his righteous cause. Sins immense as is the sea, hide me, O Gethsemane. So when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And when it's come, you will reprove, or margin convince. There's a reproving in our soul, and it's like a deep convincing deep in your heart, and it can never be erased. But grace can wash and grace can comfort. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Now the law would say this, of sin because you've committed adultery and murder and covetous and proud and light-hearted and worldly and you've gone after other lovers. Oh, that's what the law says. Not kept the Sabbath, not honored your parents. Oh, you've bowed down to idols. I don't mean literal idols, but all the idols in your life. But the Spirit's work is a peculiar work. Most blessed work. You feel a reproof because you do not believe in Christ. And faith knows that. A precious faith given to you by God tonight will show up all your unbelief. All your unbelief. Because you believe in the Lord. Only believers really know the extent and the heinousness of unbelief. The world doesn't know it really. We possess a nature of unbelief, of sin, because they believe not on me. And so you begin to believe by the Spirit's sweet instruction, making Christ precious, viewing a finished salvation. Think how loud thy dying Lord cried out, "It is finished." Holy Ghost, repeat the word, full salvation's in it. And as we sang just now in the first hymn tonight, where we sang, I just can't remember how that first couplet goes here. Think how loud thy dying Lord cried out, "It is finished." Treasure up the sacred word, whole and undiminished it goes. Ah, my friends, may we be helped to look to Christ who lives. May instruct us in our soul in all our helplessness and weakness and guiltiness to believe he's gone to the Father. Lord, seeth him no more. Your approved word of righteousness. Come, that touches this morning's subject. You'll feel a reproof and a conviction in your soul. Christ has gone to the Father. That's my righteousness. That's my righteousness. All my other strivings and workings under the law are unrighteous. Any offering I bring is unrighteous. Except I bring the offering in my prayers. Jesus, who died for sinners' sake, have mercy on me. Bringing Christ in your prayers, pleading a precious name, an all-prevailing name, that he may thirst. Well, do you thirst for the Lord to bless you? Oh, relieve your poor soul. Grant a real blessing, an everlasting blessing, a divine touch. Do you believe he's more full of grace than your sin? Oh, the fullness of Christ. I long to believe in him more. Now, this thirst is an increasing thirst here below. There's no thirst in heaven. They drink and they drink and they drink forever. Full draught of everlasting love and tender mercy. They worship the Lamb. They're complete and they're holy in their precious dear Redeemer. Oh, they appear in glory in his likeness, you see. Oh, with bodies like unto his glorious body. And nothing enters in that defiles. Oh, they're shut in forever. Ah, and you think, and you look at yourself and you think and say, shall such a worthless worm as I, who oft times am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand? What a wonderful thing is the work of God in the heart. That little faith in you is indestructible. Completely indestructible. The gates of hell can't prevail against a Holy Ghost religion. A little faith will bring a poor man safely home to God. Let him come unto me. Let him come unto me. Yes, and Jesus draws. That's very beautiful. It's not just the drawing love of the Father and the sweet, sweet divine instruction of the Holy Ghost, but that Jesus draws also. It's very significant how he speaks later in this gospel. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me, signifying what death he should die. So I believe the offering of the Lamb of God at Calvary will be very, very attractive to you. Very attractive to you. You'll have something to plead. But he's not here. He's no longer at Calvary. Laid in the tomb and rose the third day. He's gone to heaven. Therefore, you're drawn to plead Calvary, the one offering for sin, put away sin forever by the death of himself, and abolished death by the death of himself, and has bruised the devil by the death of himself, put away sin forever. And now he lives, he lives. Behold the throne of grace. The promise draws me near. There Jesus shows his smiling face and waits to answer. Is that true? Well, even for a sinner like you, and a monster like me, and waits to answer prayer, the scripture says so. A scripture I think is a wonderful scripture to me. It has been, you know, and it's so wonderful. And it sometimes seems like almost too wonderful to be true, but it is true. Before they call, I will answer. Yet speaking, I will hear. I know all about my dear people. Oh, I see them all in their griefs and their weepings. He himself wept. Oh, he wept. The shortest text in Scripture, Jesus wept. Surely he could have prevented Lazarus from dying. Surely he could have prevented the grief in the family. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I'll see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. So he let Lazarus die to show to that godly family and those Jews and to us in our generation, I am the resurrection and the life. Your weepings are for only this short life. But you feel your need of grace to get through this short life and safely through death. Because I live, ye shall live also. Roll away the stone, he said. Oh, says godly Martha, saying an ungodly thing. We can't do that, Lord. He's been dead 4 days. He stinketh by now. Said I not unto thee, Martha, oh, thou forgetful daughter of Zion. Oh, how you offend me so much, but I love you still. Oh, my sins of my blood has truly atoned for all your sins. I forgive this sin. Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. So the good man in Mark said, Mark 9, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Oh, I'm in a weeping place now, Lord. But I live in hope and believe one day thou'll bring me safely through. So you lean hard upon the word, hard upon the promise. Well, may we believe he waits to answer prayer. Oh, that rich atoning blood, which sprinkled round I see, provides to those who come to God an all-prevailing plea. My soul asks what thou wilt. Thou canst not be too bold. For thee his blood he spilt. What else can he withhold? He cannot withhold himself. He cannot withhold. Joseph could hold out no longer. He saw the grief, the distress. Oh, they've been so wicked, so cruel, so murderous, so hateful. But they're his brethren. And he saw the hand of God in it all. In the end, he had to just make himself known. Let every Egyptian go out. I'm making myself known to my brethren. And only the brethren in Christ know the sweet secret of that. He makes himself known. A greater than Joseph is here. And as Joseph's brethren treated him so badly, so have I, and so have you. As Gadsby says, not all the wanderings of a heart can make his love from her depart. Oh, that beautiful hymn 633 of Gadsby. Love cannot from its post withdraw, nor death, nor hell, nor sin, nor law. Can turn the shortest heart away. Love is own to end this day. I must come to the word and continue. Let him come unto me and receive something and drink. Every precious promise will be performed, friend. The seeking soul, the knocking sinner, the asking believer, they must be blessed. Oh, they will hear. They will receive. It shall be open. It's a precious truth. I think I prayed in prayer or pleaded in prayer. Come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. No, I wasn't. It's in Matthew and it's just gone from me. The Lord pardon the confusion. All that the Father giveth me, it's John 6, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, will in no wise cast out. Him that cometh to me, bring no money, price, or aught, no good deeds, nor pleasing frames. Mercy never can be bought. Grace is free. And all's the Lamb's. Do you need this great salvation, friend? Without money, without price? Do you feel you need that relief in your soul? Now, let us come down to our personal matters in your own soul. The strife, the temptation. You feel so empty at times. For so unlike God's dear people. You may have received answers to your poor prayers in providence. And yet you feel so poor. You long to know him and win him at last. Yes, if any man thirsts reality, a real religion, my rich blessing, let him come unto me and drink. The declarations you see in the scriptures, in these invitations, they have the answer promised, and drink. It's a promise that such will drink. God will never declare living waters and withhold from a thirsty coming sinner. They must be blessed. They will be blessed in due time. My soul, in your desperations, in your weaknesses, in your troubles, wait thou only upon God. For faith has an expectation. For he said, for my expectation is in thee. Or is that your hope and expectation? The risen and the ascended Saviour. With every grace. Oh, almighty God. He is the resurrection. He is the life. Well, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now the drinks you receive, those reliefs to your soul, those answers to your prayers, those helps by the way, they are foretastes. But you see, there's a contest going on in your soul, in your life. Your pathway won't be an easy pathway in golden slippers. I know when I was a young man, the Lord first blessed me, I set the sails and beautiful breezes and the sweet smell. Oh, my dear friends, as we journeyed along in the gracious currents of God's everlasting love. I hadn't thought much about storms then. The storm of guilt and the lure and the curse and the tremblings, knowing I was going to hell, had all passed. Ah, but friends, we live to learn that the Canaanites in the land. The work must deepen now. Must be led to a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The first smile in the soul from Calvary. Oh, how we felt such a grief and a woe over our sin. Yet he smiled, our sins were forgiven. But oh, this sinnership. Oh, the depths of what the Lord Jesus stooped to. Oh, how my friend, he poured out his soul unto death. And we're so shallow, so light. And yet, you know, dear friends, as we're humbled here in the wilderness to know what's in our heart, so he feeds, strengthens, blesses, and the work goes on to get you to heaven. Think of the solemnity that we must all die. Only a fool looks at death and says, oh, no need to worry. A godly man says, yes, Lord, I must die. Something must bring me down. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do be with me in life, Lord. Still help me to trust in thee. Uphold me in life, uphold me in death. And help me to still trust and cling to thee. And do thou be with me. Fulfill that promise, Lord, someone quoted this afternoon, and lie with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. For he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink forever. Now I must come on to verse 38. He that believeth in me, on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What is this? The Holy Ghost tells us of himself. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, the work of the Spirit, you see, as he breathes from above and pours in, so there's breathings out of your soul, out of your belly, your inner man, your heart, shall flow rivers of living water. Living water. Now that is that work of grace that brings forth fruit. Oh, that precious faith that really prays and really wrestles and fills its mouth with arguments. That humble heart that knocks and won't take no for an answer. Oh, it's a spirit of worship, the spirit of praise. It's unceasing prayer, it's petitioning and supplications. It's the poor man giving God the glory, giving God the glory. Oh, the ocean fullness of the praise in heaven. But here, in measure by the sweet work of the Spirit, there's a going out from your heart. What communications come out of your heart toward God, my friend? I'm not talking about general faith and religious conversation. It's not wrong in its place, but we may say right things and true things, but go to our private life and our closet. Go to the night seasons. Go to driving the car, the tractor in the field. Oh, the workbench, the office desk, the kitchen sink. What flows out of your belly, your heart? Is there a looking upward for mercy? A begging for help? Any confessions made from your sinful self? Petitions for more love and more mercy and great forgiveness and everlasting forgiveness? Do you need more faith, more solid faith? Do you long for a broken and a contrite and humble spirit? A friend in the vestry this morning prayed that Lord might give us that broken heart, broken heart. What a sweet thing is a broken heart. How, when you feel broken, you worship, you know. You worship. All repentance is a most precious gift. It's a blessed grace. It's a lovely grace. It's not being morbid and melancholy and put on a holy act and an outward show of religion, disfiguring your face. Nothing like it at all. It's grief and worship and love before such a loving, tender, merciful Saviour. The more sense you get of God's love and mercy to you, the more your heart is broken. Why me? Oh, blessed God, why me? Forever lie in hell. Well, not salvation free, freely administered, freely given. Hymn, I think it's 440, comes to mind here. Sometimes have it for the second hymn of the Lord's Supper. So fair a face bedewed with tears, what beauty and in grief appears. He wept, he bled, he died for you. What more, ye saints, could Jesus do? Enthroned above with equal glow, his warm affections downward flow, and, oh, they kindle affections in your heart toward him, don't they? In our distress he bears a part and feels a sympathetic smart. Still his compassions are the same, he knows the frailty of our frame, how heaviest burden he sustains, shares in our sorrows and our pain. Communion, upholding, all real worship, a self-loathing, a longing to be free from this body of death, this dreadful clay. Living in hope, one day you'll be free. Oh, let us just briefly and quickly look at the Lord helping these fountains, these flowings of living water out of your belly. It is from the ocean fullness of the I Am. Everlasting love reaching your heart. Getting exercise out of your soul. Wrestling prayer comes out. Oh, a pleading what he has said. A pleading what he has done. In your need tonight, my friend, you have a name, an all-prevailing name, an everlasting name, a glorious name. To plead the pure, holy name of Jesus. And no foul, stinking man with polluted lips will ever perish, though he's got such polluted lips, which out of curses and many wicked things have come out of. Yet as a penitent pleads, that all-prevailing name, believing in the Lamb of God. Oh, God has covenanted. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Oh, what a full gospel is, my friends. So you may fill your mouth with arguments and bring the word of God. There's a pleading of the life and the death of the Lord Jesus and all that he has said. And you see, when the Lord may console you, so often his consolings are like a promise laid in your soul. When you're blessed in your soul, you have a sense this is a blessing for eternity. For eternity, a never-ending eternity. You've got something that's treasure, everlasting treasure. And therefore, you see, by this breathing in your soul, you plead what he has said, what's been made precious to your soul. Now, I want to speak of that very carefully and handle it wisely. If I may illustrate it this way, I remember years ago preaching at Nottingham and coming down from Nottingham, down the south, of course, to the M1, and in deep waters of trouble and anxious. I tried to plead that word, John 14:14, anything in my name, I will do it. And the devil said to me, as I was getting near Leicester, he said, the Lord never replied that to you, you can't plead that. And there's a real contest in my soul all the way down the M1. I try to pray about these matters now, but you can't plead it. I just could not get access. And I had to tell the Lord, he hadn't applied that word to me, but it's still his word, still his word, still his word. You may plead his word, my friend. As I turned on the M25, eastward on the M25, the Lord drew near. His word, his word, his precious word. I filled my mouth with arguments. And some months went on and he delivered me from the heavy trial. Oh, you may plead his precious, precious word. But you may plead those things he's applied to you. And years ago, Mr. Oliver Pack said at Maystone, he said, you know, the Lord, when he gives a promise, he gives it to you to plead, to plead. They're not just promises to sit back on and enjoy in a carnal way. They're given to plead. Precious truth. At his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Living water. Wrestling prayer can wonders do. Bring relief in deepest straits. Prayer can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates. But then, my friends, worship. Worship flows out. Adoration. Love, everlasting love. Oh, from that love that's touched your heart. Oh, how you can say with the psalmist in Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he heard my voice and inclined his ear. Not quoting it correctly, so we just have to quickly look it up. Psalm 116 here. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice, and my supplications. He hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore I call upon him as long as I live, as long as I live. What a mercy it is that he that's begun a good work in you will perform till the day of Jesus Christ. And you know how you long to live more to his glory. Something I wasn't able to touch upon, I ran out of time this morning, I regretted it afterwards as I left the chapel. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Yes, a righteous man is seen in his works, his good works. And you know, friends, yes, in this worship, there's a real longing to live to his glory, in this adoring. You see, the effect of grace. Being able to take up our cross daily and follow him. And oh, my dear friends, how we're able also to cast our care. You see, casting our care is an exercise. It's coming out of your soul toward the precious person of Christ at the right hand of the Father. You go to him and tell him all your case. If you go to a doctor, it's wise to tell the doctor all our symptoms, isn't it? He can't diagnose without knowing about the symptoms, can he? And examining us. Oh, that precious eye knows all your grief. His love draws you to him to tell your case. Oh, why art thou afraid to come? Why afraid to tell thy case? Not pronounce thy doom. Smiles are seated on his face. There's forgiveness for him that he may be feared. Oh, how you go out with your case. It's sometimes been a blessed relief to me. To tell the Lord my case. When I'm just alone, struggling with it alone, it sinks you down and sinks you down and sinks you down. But when he breathes that life, and let us be clear, if he gives you life, it's never lost. But that life waxes and wanes, ebbs and flows. Oh, my friends, it rises and diminishes, never lost. The flame never goes out. But we feel so tired and empty. And the Lord, in his, and shall not the judge of all the earth do right, he brings us to places to really want him and really value him and pour out your heart and make fresh confessions because you have an ever-present sinnership, an ever-working sinnership. And you, your soul is relieved as you're unable to tell him everything. Oh, you bring your families and loved ones. Oh, Lord, mercy. You tell them the afflictions. You tell him the afflictions they're walking through. Oh, you beg for them. You beseech the Lord for his mercy to them. Your own case, your sins, your personal matters. Oh, there's that casting of your care. But I see it's nearly 8, so I must close. Well, I've not dealt properly with this second verse 38, but he that believeth on me, he that really believes I am so good and so pours out his heart, he that longs to know me and reverences me, oh, out of his belly will come many prayers, many petitions, and praises forevermore, praises forevermore. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. In Romans 10 we read. This is the believing. It's Holy Ghost believing. As we read in John 6, they said to the Lord Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? You can see later in the chapter, they didn't seem to have much faith in that. They just wanted to do outward things. But Jesus answered and said unto them, verse 29, this is the work of God. You believe on him and he hath sent. That's the work of God. To believe on Christ. And believe he's done everything. A little further. An old monk said to Luther in his cell, believe he'll yet do everything. He's gracious and he cannot lie. So in your need this night, oh, his loving times past have bid me to think. He'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure to bring me quiet through, safely through, right to the very end. Oh, to trust in him. Oh, to look to him. To believe in him. To wait upon him. He's so good, so blessedly good. Well, I come short in trying to preach these precious, precious, they are precious truths. They are precious truths. Remember reading one sermon of J.K. Popham once, and he said this, I preach in a poor way, but I don't preach a poor gospel. It's a blessed gospel. Well, may it warm our hearts and do us good. May we be affected by the gospel. Want something permanent, don't you? Something to remain. We're leaky vessels, but he that believeth and keeps pleading and asking and petitioning me to bless him and fill him and help him and strengthen him. Yes, out of his belly he will be filled. Because worship, his heart to go out after God. His heart will go out and lay hold upon him. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Oh, the Lord grant it to us. Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. O Lord, be pleased to bless thy own word of grace. Oh, do grant those precious waters to us, Lord, to believe in thee more and trust in thee more. Oh, satisfy our thirst, not a good and faithful God. So in thy tender mercy, Father, with thy blessing, we take a few things home and do pardon, Lord, all that's been spoken wrongly. Now do take us on our ways in peace and safety. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
collections last Lord's Day amounted to £650, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 779. Faith implanted from above will prove a fertile root, whence will spring a tree of love, producing precious fruit. Though bleak winds the boughs deface, the rooted stock shall still remain. Leaves may languish, fruit decrease, but more shall grow again. 779.
Jesus Christ, the love of God our most holy Father, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.